Ladies and gentlemen, John Piper, the great Baptist preacher, said, "Life is wasted if we do not grasp the glory of the cross, cherish it for the treasure that it is, and cleave to it as the highest price of every pleasure and the deepest comfort in every pain. What was once foolishness to us, a crucified God, must become our wisdom and our power and our only boast in this world." And the church said, "Amen." Join me in prayer. Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, help us to see more and more the value of the cross, and help us from that to trust you more, to love you more, to fear you more in the sense of reverence and respect, and also as an incentive to obedience and to faithfulness. And a part of that faithfulness, Lord, being making sure we have family altar, family devotions each and every day. No matter how we might feel about each other, or what we may think, or what our emotional state is, Lord, help us to live by your holy word, not our feelings, and not what we think. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. Ladies and gentlemen, turn your Bibles now to Ephesians 6:17. The Bible reads, "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." And Dr. Thomas Constable writes in his expository notes on the Bible, "In Paul's armor description, the sword is the soldier's only offensive weapon. Infantrymen usually carried a long spear as well, but Paul did not mention that in his analogy. The word of God is similar to this short sword for the Christian. Word rhema here refers to the utterance of God rather than to the written word or the living word of God, logos. It seems most likely to refer to the spoken or applied words of Scripture that we use to counteract the particular temptation we face. It is the appropriate Scripture spoken or put to use by the Christian in a given instance of temptation. So that's what the sword is. It is the word of God that we should hide in our hearts, like some of us will do this morning. And when we face a certain temptation, we bring it out, that short sword, the word of God. As Jesus used the words of Scripture to repulse the tempter, so must the Christian use the words the Spirit of God has inspired to drive away Satan. Those of you who are struggling with temptation, struggling with sin and you don't know why you can't get the victory is because you are not hiding the Word of God in your heart. Those of you who have these wicked mood swings, these wicked attitudes, but yet you claim to be a Christian, but you're mean as the devil to your family, you need to hide in your heart the Word of God that talks about when Jesus said to us, even in tribulation you ought to be cheerful, because He has overcome the world. You need to hide in your heart, rejoice forevermore. No matter what the situation, you have peace, you have joy, you have a good attitude and spirit, and you're cheerful. And otherwise, the devil is going to whip you every which way throughout your life based upon, because you're living by your feelings and your emotions and what you think. You're living by how you perceive people treating you, and offenses you think you have received in the past. And every time the devil wants to get you off track, get you off point, he's going to whip you like this because you have no word in you to stabilize you. One of the benefits of family devotions is that the Word of God has a way of anchoring your soul and your spirit down, so you're not whipped every which way by the winds of adversity, the winds of confusion, the winds of family issues, the winds of problems on the job, and everything that's going to come at you that day. It is wise, extremely wise, to get in a family devotional situation with somebody. Yes, we can do it online today. And we thank God for what we're able to do today and what we're doing right now to encourage people in the matter of prayer and devotion and having devotions as a family. The Word of God and prayer together will weigh you down where you're not blown away like a balloon at every little offense, every little thing that happens, such as somebody pulling in front of you, your whole day is shot, your coffee is spilt, you're mad as the devil, and you come into the job huffing and puffing. You come home huffing and puffing, because you're mad at one little incident and it has altered your whole day. Why? Because you're not weighed down with the weight of the Holy Word of God and prayer and communion with God and with others, starting with your family. And that's right, my beloved, charity begins at home. Don't go out here, as my daughter Danae wisely said yesterday, it's not right for people to be all happy around other people and certain people and talk and be cheerful and energetic, but you act like you hate your own family. That makes you a hypocrite, a phony, and a fake. And charity begins at home. You can choose to love your family regardless of their idiosyncrasies, their issues, and all families have issues. All families have idiosyncrasies. All families have some kind of curse coming down the pike. And you have to rise above that as a Christian, as a person who has been born again with God's love, and love your family first and then love others. Does not mean you have to stay with them. Does not mean you have to agree with them. But you must love them. Amen, somebody. The Holy Spirit, he continues, both gives the word, rhema, and empowers it as we use it. It is his sword. End of quote. Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, help us to stop living by our feelings and our emotions and what we think and how we think things ought to be. For they never work out the way we think they ought to work out, because this is not our world, it is your world. And so, Holy Father God, help us to adapt and to adjust to every situation based upon the foundation of your holy word and not our flighty feelings. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. Ladies and gentlemen, please join us in reading our devotional Bible passage for today, Psalm 79, 1 through 7. That needs to be changed immediately. O God, the heathen are come into thine inheritance, thy holy temple. Have they defiled? They have laid Jerusalem on heaps. The dead bodies of thy servants have they given to be meat unto the fowls of the heaven, the flesh of thy saints unto the beasts of the earth. Their blood have they shed like water round about Jerusalem, and there was none to bury them. We are become a reproach to our neighbors, a scorn and derision to them that are round about us. How long, Lord, wilt thou be angry forever? Shall thy jealousy burn like fire? Pour out thy wrath upon the heathen that have not known thee, and upon the kingdoms that have not called upon thy name. For they have devoured Jacob and laid waste his dwelling place. Holy Father God, help us, Lord, to see what your holy word is saying to us. Help us to understand that there are those in this world who love you and who believe in you, and that at the same time there are those who don't, and that there's an eternal warfare going on between good and evil. Lord, help us to stay on the winning side. Grant us your grace and the power of your Holy Spirit to be the humble Christian servants that you want us to be. Help us to pray, to seek your face, and to turn from our wicked ways and humble ourselves before you. And we pray that you would revive us again and give us sweet victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil in our daily lives. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. Join me now, ladies and gentlemen, in praying for our governmental leaders and all other states based upon 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness. In all godliness. There's not going to be a peaceable life without godliness and honesty. And that will preach right there. So pray to that end. And Holy Father God, we pray for President Donald Trump and his administration and his family and each member of the White House staff. We pray that you'll give them wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and insight to lead this country. Where they need to confess sin and repent, help them to do that. And we pray that you would give them and bless them with salvation, spiritual, family, financial, material, physical, life, protection and provision, blessings. And Lord, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, please rebuke and bind the devil and his demons and his hosts from their minds, their hearts, souls, and spirits. And we pray the same prayer requests upon all of the leaders of federal agencies, all members of Congress, all governors, mayors, police chiefs, and sheriffs, all military leaders, James Mad Dog Mattis, the leaders of all nations around the world, the peace of Jerusalem, and we pray that you would grant that the peace of Jerusalem. And we pray for church leadership as well. We pray for every godly, honest pastor, every humble pastor, be they in a large church, a medium-sized church, or a small church, to stand flat-footed and to proclaim, thus saith the Lord, this morning. Demonstrate the power of your Holy Spirit. Help them not to be concerned about putting on a show or entertaining people, but to preach what is needed for the church today. And most importantly, to proclaim the gospel to those who might be sitting there and lost. We pray for all pastors, church leaders, denominational leaders, Bible teachers, missionaries, and ministry workers across this nation and around the globe. Use them until the day they die to bring in the sheaves. We also pray for current events going on around the world. We pray for the comfort of the families of the people who died in the terror attack in New York City. We pray for the people, millions of folk in New York today, for the New York Marathon, that you would surround them with your protection. And, Lord, have your Holy Spirit to work mightily in the hearts of the people, visiting as they visit churches, open blinded eyes, unstop deaf ears, and save those who are lost, revive those who are saved. We also pray for the people impacted by the shooting in Denver and the shooting in Chicago, for the healing and salvation of those who were wounded as well as their families. And Holy Father God, we pray for the media, for they have a major leadership role, and we pray that they would tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And we pray that you would save those who are lost, revive those who are saved. And we pray, Lord, for some of the hundreds of prayer requests that we do have this morning, and we're only choosing to do a few for the sake of time. We pray for D, help their government to make the right decisions for the people of Myanmar. We pray for Vicky, please end the drought in Israel for the peace of Jerusalem. We pray for Nam, deliver him from all devilish spirits. And Lord, we pray for those who have been saved through this ministry. We pray for Tracy, Vijay. We pray for Namish, help these to grow in the faith and be the strong Christians you want them to be. We also pray for those who have recommitted their lives to you, Lord Jesus. We thank you for these who have come back to you. We pray for X, we pray for George, and we pray for Fuad. And we commit these souls into your hands. Let your will be done in their lives and in ours. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. Beloved, our devotional reading for today is titled The Authority of Truth, Part 1, by Oswald Chambers. The Authority of Truth. Don't worry, I'm not drinking coffee while we're on this fast. I am drinking green tea to help keep my strength up. James 4:8 says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. It is essential that you give people the opportunity to act on the truth of God. Amen, somebody. The responsibility must be left with the individual. You cannot act for him. It must be his own deliberate act. But the evangelical message should always lead him to action. Can somebody say amen? I want you to hear that the gospel message, the Bible message, should always lead a person to action. Either positive action, where they, for example, get saved, or they refuse the gospel. Refusing to act leaves a person paralyzed, exactly where he was previously. But once he acts, he is never the same. Either way, it is the apparent folly of the truth that stands in the way of hundreds who have been convicted by the Spirit of God. Once I press myself into action, I immediately begin to live. Anything less is merely existing. The moments I truly live are the moments when I act with my entire will by the grace of God. Amen, somebody. Holy Father God, as we present the gospel today, as we preach today, help us to preach the truth and have the authority of the truth be left with the individual to make that decision that they need to make. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Now, beloved, if you do not yet know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Bible also says in Romans 10:9-13, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ today, dear friend, and you will be saved. Allow me to pray with you and to help you to pray the sinner's prayer. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge today that I am a sinner and that I have broken your commandments. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for my sins, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. And help me to repent of my sins past and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray and for his sake. Amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you just trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and you prayed that prayer and meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God, the Bible, you are now saved from hell and you're on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God. I want to congratulate you on doing the most important thing in life, and that is receiving the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Until next time, my beloved, may the Lord bless you and keep you, is my prayer.